the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. We're sans Jamie right now. He has left me in control of the of all of the equipment, and he took off on us. So it's just going to be me and Daryl here for a bit. A quick update on World Cup action. We got Ghana, Panama. That's happening right now. At this time tomorrow, Canada will be in action against Qatar or Qatar, however you want to say it. And earlier, England gets a win over Croatia. All right, let's do it.
Double Take with Daryl Davis.
The inmates are running the asylum.
Ooh, boy, we can push all the buttons we want, eh? All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So you've been listening today.
Yeah.
You know Ron.
Yeah. Ron Podbielski, yes.
Yeah. So did Ron come to you with this idea for this article? Or
The one that he ran in the Leader Post? Yeah, he approached us, and actually I guess he went through me to start with, and I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. He wrote a really long piece, so we did a little editing, and he worked with Kevin Mitchell, the editor for both the
newspaper,
Star Phoenix and the Leader Post, and Saskatoon, the Regina Papers, shortened it a little bit, and then Ron updated it because it takes us a little while to work out everything. Solid piece, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, and good. Good on Ron for taking a solid stance, being rational about it, and drawing people into the conversation. That's what it's supposed to do. And obviously, it interested you guys enough to contact Ron. Ron's a sensible guy. He's also a pretty good writer, and I'm really jealous because he got almost as many readers as I get. So
yeah.
So well, my job might be on the line.
I doubt that highly. It's a good piece, yes. And he's obviously hitting on something that a lot of people are talking about right now. The one sentiment that he made is that if you stand up at a podium and you tell everybody there's a problem with the game, and then you highlight what the problems might be, and then you go and you announce a bunch of changes that don't really deal with what the problems are, there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I think Ron is touching on, because change for the sake of change, I think, can really get under people's skin. And I think that, to a certain extent, that's what you might have happening here with Stu.
They want to prove it to them without beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? So it's like a court case, right?
Yeah.
So prove to us that you're going to get 60 more touchdowns. You're talking about not having data because it's a lot of hypothesis. The data that they probably drew from a little bit is when the NFL moved the goalposts. How much did scoring went up, but touchdowns went up and field goals went down. And the problem to me isn't so much the scoring. Maybe scoring will go down next year, but maybe you're going to eliminate three or four boring field goals every game. I don't watch field goals. They are so boring to watch. These guys are so automatic now. Everybody's talking about the returns for touchdowns from field goals. You can still get them in the end zone. They're still going to happen. Maybe not as many, but there are still going to be opportunities to do it. And I think if you're kicking fewer field goals in any game and going for touchdowns, especially the situations that some of your callers were talking about, go for it on third and six from the 35-yard line. Score a touchdown. Don't punt it into the coffin corner. Try it and see how it goes. And I think wouldn't you rather watch a touchdown than a field goal?
100%. Yeah. But I am not sure. I'm kind of in the same camp that Jamie is in, where I am unsure if these changes, when he first said it, it seemed okay to me. Like, it seemed rational that if you move the goalposts back, the people might actually gamble more and you might score more touchdowns. They'll take less chances at field goals. But the way that Jamie highlights it, there's an outside chance that maybe because of how conservative coaches can be, that is not going to be the case.
Coaches ruin everything when you get right down to it, right? They all they want to do is manipulate the rules their own way. And that's why they shouldn't have had the coaches involved in the rules discussion.
Well, I said that to Ron.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Locker. In the middle of the field, though, taking out that 10 yards, I was thinking, why do they do that? Well, if you're going to make the goalpost farther away by putting them in the back of the end zone, which is absolutely the greatest rule he has ever come up with, it has ever been implemented in this league, despite what a bunch of your callers have said. moving those goalposts to the back of the end zone is great for this game. It's going to make it better. It's going to make it safer. You're going to see more plays, and you're going to have more plays.
Yeah.
Doing that, that's why they shrunk the 10 yards out of the middle. And I see the logic behind it. It does make sense. So that's not, I realize the 55-yard line is kind of a real tradition in the CFL, but so put the guys 10 yards closer to the end zone because the goalposts are now 15 yards back.
So those were one and the same. And he did try to explain that, and maybe he muddied the waters a little bit when he was introducing a lot of these changes. One of the things that we talked about on the show was take away, like you get one back, roll one back. And I was shocked at how many 55-yard.
Yeah,
and to me is like really
it's iconic, right? The 55-yard line, right? It's like the CH at the middle of the Montreal, for the Bell Center, the Montreal Forum, right? Seeing that,
but I thought the goalposts being
You got a lot of people talking about the goalposts who don't like it. I can't see why anybody would want the goalposts at the front of the end zone. They're dangerous. They get in the way. They offensively and defensively. Everybody says, "Oh, it makes it more exciting." And poor Cody Fajardo missed. No, gosh, just get them out of the way. You don't need them. All they do is ruin a potential play and make it unsafe for players out there. Get rid of it. I was surprised that there weren't as many. And the 10-yard lines, moving the getting rid of the 55, okay, yeah, and moving the ball them closer together, okay, big deal. Jamie's right on this one, Locker. 8 out of 9 teams making the playoffs.
That's like, the one
that's
that bugs
like a
me
kids
the most.
League, man. That's giving out medals to everybody. This isn't a kids league. This is pro football. You've got to win more than 3 games to make it into the playoffs. And I don't think 8 out of 9 teams making the playoffs make you win more. They proved the scenario last year. I think that both teams with one win could actually make the playoffs when 8 out of 9 teams do it.
Yeah. One of the things that has been happening in the last couple of months with Dave Naylor, our Green Zone Football Insider, anytime we bring up rule changes and we're like, is more coming? And he'll go, I think more's coming. My answer today was, I'd roll back the playoff changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my change too.
I'd roll that back. But then I added,
other than video review. Absolutely scrap video review, but it's not one of the new ones. Just scrap it anyway.
What I said was, I think Stu needs to slow his roll. Because I think you're at a point right now where, like, every rule change that he has made, regardless of what his motive was, everybody can go, okay, you can have a discussion about it. Like we just did, right? Like everybody has a good point or a bad point about one rule or the other. And some like some elements of this rule change, whatever. If he keeps going here with no regard for what long-term hardcore CFL fans think, I think he's in a lot of, and the game is going to, it's in trouble.
Well, there's that possibility. I guess he may have overworked it a little bit, right?
I think so.
I'm curious as heck. The game, the rules have been tampered with this year, and we're talking about how great the games are already. So maybe those small rules might have helped. Maybe the 35-second clock has helped. I think they should have that 35-second speed clock all the way through, including the last 3 minutes of each half, because those last 3 minutes are dragging now in comparison to the rest of the game. So keep the game going the way it was all the time. I like that better. But they have decided they're not going to. So maybe those rules have already helped the game. Everybody's thinking, oh, what great 6 games they've had. Well, yeah, but the rules have changed a little bit. They're going to change even more next year, and I can't wait to see them in action.
Yeah, I'm at that point. But what I'd like him to do, though, is if the game is in trouble and, you know, that's what he was saying. I need to make all these changes because the game's in trouble. But I don't know if the game's in trouble. I think the game is fine. And I'd like him to admit that. And I'd like him to fix things that like the CFL fantasy and some of the marketing how the game is presented. Mm-hmm. I think he should be concentrating on more aesthetics from that perspective.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't you start with the product first? I don't know if he's ever really said it's totally in trouble. I think he said it's getting tired and stale maybe a little bit. That's the impression I got, and it needs a bit of a shakeup. It has been the same. Even you're talking
maybe
about
the
panel being the same year after year and doing the same thing. Those are things that might need changing. The game needs a little bit of changing. We're seeing it done the same way over and over again. And this year, there are some changes. I know that they're only the minor changes so far, but maybe they have helped already. So these are things in the big scheme of things those rules are really going to change the game even more so. And I'm all for it. I you know, there are a couple of little things I would tinker with, but that's what we're all like. There's always something you don't agree with. But I think for the most part, and I'm going to reiterate, moving those goalposts, best thing they've ever done. And I can't wait to see the games next year with those goalposts at the back.
All right, we're going to let you stick around.
Absolutely. Want to talk Maple Leafs?
Well, I actually wouldn't mind your thoughts on Jim getting hired in Toronto, but also we want to talk about butterflies for some reason.
I'm just kidding about that. I wrote a story for the Leader Post about monarch butterfly coming through Saskatchewan. If you want to talk, I know about migrating butterflies now if you want.
All right, we're going to lay it all out for you next on 980 CGME and 650 CKOM. Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. It is a double take with Daryl Davis, our Hall of Famer, and you're writing a bit of news now for the Leader. I'm wondering if you don't mind just sharing a little bit about the Monarch story, because it is kind of cool. I know it's not sports, but I read it today and I thought it was really interesting.
Thanks. She is a marathon running butterfly, isn't she? A Monarch butterfly has never been tracked as far north as, from what I understand, as Lake Winnipeg Osa's, northern Manitoba.
Yeah.
They released this butterfly. It's a U.S. organization called Monarch Watch. And in 17 days, it went 1,700 kilometers north of Winnipeg. It stopped in Saskatchewan and fluttered around Whitewood for a little while and then kept going. Maybe the winds pushed it up there. Amazing.
And they've got monitors on them.
Radio. That's about the size of a pin with an oversized head.
It's
They use eyelash glue to put it on the back of these butterflies so that you can monitor it. And people can actually download an app to find out where these butterflies are. And you get a map to see where they are. And there's a map to show where this butterfly went all the way through North Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and then north to Manitoba. It's now migrating back, coming back towards Winnipeg. I guess it got a little cold up there.
Yeah. We'll go check out Daryl's article if you're interested
thanks,
in
buddy.
It.
Yeah, the Leader Post. Yeah. Ron Podbielski sharing space.
So when you heard Jim's name today,
Jim Hiller.
Hiller for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
Didn't go well for him in L.A., did it?
No. Well, here's the thing. If you actually take a look at his record, if you remove the playoffs and you take a look at his record, he has got a pretty impressive win.
Perfect for the Leafs because they never have to worry about the playoffs, right? So that's not bad to get a guy with a good regular season record.
It is interesting that John Chayka made this. You would think, though, that it's the Leafs. And again, I think there's a little bit more to it. I think that some of these bigger names are very, very concerned about working with Chayka.
Yeah.
That's my sense.
And working in Toronto. Is there a tougher market to work in?
Yeah, but if you're a coach and you have that kind of an ego.
Yeah, they all have egos.
I think you look at that at like, yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
Okay. Original six. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs, mm-hmm. Canada's biggest.
There's still some stars on that team. So you think, yeah, if anybody can do it, I can do it. You have to have that confidence when you go in, but it's a tough spot. It kills a lot of people who have a good chance of being successful. Go in there and it just goes, that's it.
And it came out now that that Bruce Cassidy was given an opportunity to talk to the Leafs as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look. Maybe Torts will end up in Edmonton now, right?
Well, you never know. Yeah. Torts is allowed to talk to any coach, but Bruce still is not or to any team. Now, Bruce is still being held back. So.
My last question, what if Tortorella had won the Stanley Cup in Vegas? Would they have kept him?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one, hey?
Yeah.
I think he was hired just for a short stint, and away he goes again.
Daryl, thank you for your time.
Good seeing you, Locker.
Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. By the way, we probably had over 100 texts on what rule you would like to walk back that Stu has announced changes to in the CFL. And I'd say probably 55-60% of the texts we got were about the 110, the 55-yard line, which kind of surprised me. I will be honest. Quite a few playoffs have come in. But yeah, that seems to be a lot of question marks about Stuart Johnston. Not everybody in the province is a big fan of Stuart Johnston. Keep those texts coming. By the way, a quick note about the Labor Day Classic, which we just got a note. It is 90% sold out. So people are still buying tickets for the games here in Saskatchewan. So that's good news. We had Terry Koshan, who covers the Toronto Maple Leafs, for the Toronto Sun on today. Anytime we have big news out of Toronto, we always get him on the blower. And Leafs GM John Chyka announced the Leafs' new head coach today, the organization's 41st head coach. An interesting hire. We started with the pronunciation of Jim's last name. Terry, is it Hiller or Hillier?
Yeah, Jim Hiller. And, you know, familiar face around here. Four seasons spent on Mike Babcock's staff from 2015 to 19. And, you know, I think did a fairly good job in Los Angeles. I spoke to the Kings for 3 years before he let go of the 1st of March. So it's an interesting hire. You don't want to get too carried away with the surprise factor, guys, because he wasn't on anyone's radar. I mean, he's a legit NHL coach. You know, I don't think there's any argument with that. The Kings were under his tutelage, one of the top defensive teams in the NHL. You know, what led to his downfall there was they couldn't figure a way to put a puck in the net with consistency, and that was that. So, we'll see where the Leafs go with this. They needed defensive structure, smart, whatever you want to call it. Do they need to make changes in the blue line? Of course they do. But, you know, Hiller seems to be the right guy to put this into place eventually.
So how is the fan base reacting?
Well, I think it's kind of like everyone else. I mean, if you we're led to believe that Peter Laviolette was quite close to being the guy before he went and was hired by the Kings last week. There was interest in Bruce Cassidy. Led to believe again, at least get permission from the Vegas Golden Knights to talk to him, but wind up going in a different direction.
I am curious about this, and this has nothing to do with anything other than just inside media stuff. Is John Chyka not allowed to leave his office? I couldn't believe that a coaching hire was done on a Zoom call today. Like, you saw Laviolette get a jersey and a podium. Yep. Mal Holter get a jersey and a podium. Ryan Craig, as Kelly McCrimmon said, out of respect for him, he's not here today because there's too many other stuff to address. We'll do it tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow. Like, I was surprised the Toronto Maple Leafs are announcing a head coach and the availability is in a Zoom call.
Zoom call.
Yeah, I am too, until I looked into it and was told that, logistics is keeping, family logistics are keeping Hiller from making it to Toronto until next week. I think it could have been done early next week in person, but they've waited till Thursday. It's kind of leading to the draft guys coming the next night. So that's all it is. Under normal circumstances, of course, usually what would have happened is we get the release. It came around nine local time this morning, maybe later in the morning, and then you have something at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. If not, then the next day. But yeah, there was nothing. It's going to be done properly next week. But like I said, it wasn't anything kind of silly that led to them doing it this way today.
Okay. So Terry, yeah. One of the things that, you have to admit is that this is a very coveted position. This is a Leafs. It's a original six organization. And, we heard a lot of names being tossed around. And are you on some level just a bit disappointed that Patrick Waugh did not get announced today? That story just writes itself, no?
It would have written itself, but, it can be bombastic and fiery and everything else, but if it didn't last too long in the end, then how much further along are you? I would have been very interesting, to put it mildly, had Patrick Waugh been the head coach in this market, but, perhaps another time. But, yeah, I know a good track record, more or less, that he's had in Colorado and the Islanders and certainly in junior hockey in the Quebec League, but... I don't know how far down the path they got with him, but yeah, it would have been rather interesting had he been here between him and the media. And just given his history and everything, and certainly a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve. But at the same time, I would imagine Jim Hiller would be as insightful, just not as fiery. And looking forward to seeing what he's all about.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing. This whole offseason so far for Toronto has been a lot. I think a lot of, like John Chyka was first going, what? Okay. And then Jim Hiller also came out of really nowhere. Wasn't a lot of speculation about him. and being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs has some scar tissue for Toronto Maple Leafs fans for Jim Hiller's record as a head coach. And I just go, does the offseason in these big hiring, is it underwhelming, Terry? And maybe is that a good thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's underwhelming. Like, well, okay, if we're going to call it underwhelming, then maybe the expectations aren't set higher than they could be, if that makes sense. Right? Because that's the thing about this market. Like, I mean, the expectations are always so high, and you know, whether it's not the fan base, the team itself setting this bar so high for itself, and for the most part, it hasn't been attainable in the past, you know, X amount of years. So, you know, I don't know. Could it be an under the wire thing, or however you put it? We'll see going forward. But the offseason, I mean, what a contrast, right? You go on May 4th from the Trika hiring, which, you know, people are taken aback for the most part. Again, given some of the names that are out there. The next night, they win the draft lottery. While that's happening, the Toronto Marlies are getting going on a playoff run that nobody saw coming, and now they're within one victory of the Calder Cup title, which would be their second. You hire a coach in there after 5 weeks. I give some respect, certainly, for Trika's way for making it thorough, but, you know, today was 5 weeks to the day that Berube got fired, and we're kind of all looking at each other here going, okay, let's get on with it. We get thorough and everything else, but come on. So, it's been quite a turn of events, and, you know, he gets the first trade out of the way yesterday, and on the service, they all couldn't have got more for Joseph Woll. I don't think that was really the point of it. What Archer Akhtyamov has done here in the playoffs is sort of known to be ready for some sort of shot at the NHL. And they get a younger, smaller defenseman, but one who's a little more fluid with the puck. So, really, a lot has happened in the past month or so, and we're still not at the draft. We still don't know for sure they're taking Gavin McKenna. Braden's becomes next. There's lots of trade rumors, you know, about how this team is going to be reconstructed. So, yeah, it's been a busy offseason, but I'd say the next 2 weeks or so are going to be even crazier, I would imagine.
On that note, are you, like, so for me, just, yeah. I'll give you a little bit of insight. I, unfortunately, have taken a great deal of joy out of Leaf Nation's pain over the years.
Okay.
So, and not from a sadistic perspective, but just, like, losing Game 7 first round, like, just those kind of runs and things like that. So, yeah. I gotta admit, when Chaika got hired, I've just sort of been sitting there waiting for more craziness to happen.
Mm-hmm. So,
is that how most Leaf fans are, like, are they just sort of sitting there going, okay, when's it coming? Something really weird that we can't even predict is going to happen because of who the general manager is. Is that thing?
It could be, but I'll tell you what, 24 hours later, that got upset when they won the draft. Everybody was in a good mood.
That's
again.
True.
Optimism was back. So the thing about all this, guys, is that, listen, the Trika rumors were going into that first weekend in May. The announcement comes, I think they announced it Sunday. They introduced him on Monday. And, you know, all these ideas and stuff about who he is and what he did and hasn't been at GM for 6 years and all that. 24 hours later, it's all out the window because they win the draft lottery. And they're handed this gift from the hockey god. So that type of thing really didn't have a chance to get going. And, you know, on top of that, I think the initial indication was that Berube, there's a better chance that he was going to stay. I guess we all read the tea leaves wrong in that. And that didn't make a lot of people happy because the Leafs were terrible last year. And defensively, they were awful. What happens? So 9 days after the Trika is hired, he fires Berube. So now you're going in another direction that way, again, that a lot of fans probably didn't see coming. So as of right now, that feeling might be in a bit of a holding pattern. And, you know, like I said, we'll see what comes out of the draft and free agency and trades and that. But, again, not interesting what the Marlies have done. There's a little more optimism, I think, in that regard, too, with some of the youngsters like Ethan Callan and Ben Danford and a few of the other guys that come up that have been good for them. So it's turned a bit of a corner here in the past month or so. A long way to go, obviously, and it doesn't mean it's going to be good in the end, but there is a bit of a corner that gets been turned in the fan base.
There you go. Terry Koshan, he, again, covers the Toronto Maple Leafs for the Toronto Sun. Good follow on Twitter. Kosh, Toronto Sun. He is very diplomatic when it comes to his approach to reporting on the Leafs. He's got his opinions, but he's diplomatic. And you could hear it there in his explanation about the Jim Hiller hire. The 41st head coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I actually posted something yesterday on my Twitter, a poll about the next coach for the Edmonton Oilers. The last team that had a coaching change here this season, still without a coach after they let Knobloch go. And I said, pick a coach, Oiler fans. Babcock, Torts, Cassidy, or Bruce Boudreau. Bruce came in last, which is sad, only 4%. 15% went with Babcock. 31% went with Torts. I wonder, with him being released today from Vegas, if Torts is actually on the radar for the Oilers. And Bruce Cassidy, obviously, they're continuing the Babcock path, the Oilers, and they've got the league doing the investigation on his time in Columbus. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Edmonton Oilers here. By the way, one champ, one chump. We do it daily. It's up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
All right, we're going to start with our chump. I don't know if you get a chance tonight, you might want to go back and listen to Kelly McCrimmon. He is the general manager for the Vegas Golden Knights. He had a press conference today. So he talks about releasing Torts, introduces the new guy, Craig Ryan, and then goes on and on about how excited he is for Torts' future. And then he called all of the teams and said, hey, this guy would be a great coach. You should consider him if you need to make any coaching changes. And then started talking about how he gave Bruce Cassidy one chance to talk to one team. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And that has since come out that Cassidy was allowed to talk to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They obviously go with Jim Hillier. We were just talking to Terry Koshan about that. And our champ today, I got two champs. We got fans from Cape Verde for the exchange with Spain, the kits, and the Congo fans. Man, they were fun to watch. This World Cup has been very, very entertaining, but I wanted to make sure we champed the Congo fans in their 1-1 draw with Portugal today.